just following instructions for doing the recording here. And you might have noticed I was a little bit wobbly getting up here. The reason for that is I've got a full leg brace on my leg to keep it from bending. Just had a torn quadriceps tendon about 2 months ago and surgery on that. But close to getting this thing off and starting therapy, so very thankful for all of that. Now I might really be called a rookie in different categories. I'm certainly not with respect to the length of time I've been on the planet Earth, but definitely not rookie, but any grace that you want to show me or patience with me would be appreciated. Having just learned less than 24 hours ago that I was actually going to be speaking as the backup, it could be a little bit rough. I've got a lot to share. It's just a question of being led by the Holy Spirit, basically, in what to share and what not to share, because there's an awful lot that I would like to tell you about. I'd like to begin just to give you a little background on the early part of my life so that you'll have a better appreciation for where I've come from, essentially. Start off with, and I'm trying to really condense this part about my career and in the early years, but I'll touch on just some main points. One of the main points was that my parents were divorced when I was about 10 years old. And after that divorce, I never saw my mother again, and I never lived in under the same roof with my father, because he had come from a divorced parents as well, and he really had not learned. He didn't have a good example, let's say, for how to be a father. And so me and my sister and brother were kind of divvied out to other family members to raise. But in all of that, I'm very thankful. I was raised by my grandmother. Now, at times, I probably wasn't real thankful about that, because she's a pretty tough little old lady. I mean, she was little, but boy, she was tough. And she knew how to discipline me. And so it was really good for me. I mean, it didn't feel like it then, but it was. I know it was good for me. And she loved me, and she worked hard to pay for me to go to a military academy. I was raised in Lebanon, Tennessee. Castle Heights Military Academy was considered probably the best education, and that's why she worked hard to send me there. So really appreciated that, of course, and she did help me a lot along the way besides just loving me so well. And not having much of my father in my life at all, I needed other men in my life as well. So that was a really good thing about going to high school at the military academy, because there were some wonderful men on that faculty. So I had their input, you know, their encouragement, I was motivated by them, and it was kind of like a family. So very thankful for how God worked that out. Wanted to also let you know, at Castle Heights, I never had been real athletic. I was real skinny, and never had a father again to encourage me to be in sports, but ended up playing soccer. And that became the sport that I could excel at. And the coach of the soccer team played a large role in that, motivating me and encouraging me and helping me that way. So a lot to be thankful for that way. And then, I, as Tom had mentioned, I was able to get an appointment to West Point, which I was really very thankful for. Of course, again, while I was there, I may not have been real thankful either, because I'm on the front end. They just tried to, you know, weed you out. And so I'm very thankful that I made it through those 4 years, and a good way to start the Army career. Had a 5-year commitment after that and ended up staying for 20 years. Tom kind of hit some highlights of my Army career, and so I'm not going to reiterate those, except to mention this, back up just a little bit, that when I graduated from West Point, I had dated a high school sweetheart for about 3 or 4 years, and we got married. And then we had a daughter that was born about 3 years after that at Fort Lewis, Washington, the only child that we had. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, because that's an important part of my life. And let me just say this. I was thinking about the fact that I seemed so blessed and doing so well, but really that was, from my standpoint, that was external, but they were good things. But on the inside, I really didn't have any spiritual input into my life. No real pointing me to Christ, except that we were a church-going family. Okay, so I did have some input. It wasn't a real strong church, but I did have some spiritual input, but it was not on a personal basis. So it was just, I didn't have much interest in eternal matters. And I hate to say it, but I was basically kind of buying into that, the world's lie, Satan's lie, that, hey, you can take care of it yourself. Whatever comes up, you can deal with it yourself and handle it. Just do it. And so I had a prideful and independent spirit. And that's not good. The family situation probably kind of had a little bit to do with that, of being on my own and such as that. But I was going my own way. So that's really where I was at this time in my life. Again, without the spiritual input from my family or from anyone else. So that was not good. That's the inside of what was happening, the attitude I had and the way I thought. And it probably also carried over essentially into the Army career, because in the career, what I do? You're probably not too surprised with that kind of way of thinking. I made the career first. Now, in other words, I had my priorities really messed up. Yeah, I put my career first. That means above family. Again, I didn't feel like I knew much about being a good husband and good father. And that was true. And I didn't have a whole lot of good input to be guided by, to be a good husband and father. So, but actually, my wife and I remained married for 20 years. But it got rougher and rougher along the way, because I wasn't making the career first. She knew that was what was happening. And so she got to where she just hated the Army, and I would defend it. You know, but see, another piece of that is that I later realized, and again, I did not realize it in that time. I was just ignorant of it, essentially. But why was I putting their career first? I was making it all about me, wasn't I? You know? And above my family. So I tell you, that's pretty stinking right there when you think about it. It was not good in that regard. So it's no wonder that 20-year marriage ended in divorce at the end of my 20-year Army career. So it was a real midlife crisis. And but a wonderful thing happened in all of that. At the end of my Army career, I ended up having an Army officer that I had met and worked with on the board of the military academy. And he said, "Oh, you're going to Chattanooga. You need to look up a friend of mine." So, man, I didn't know anybody in Chattanooga. So I made a note. I said, "I sure will." Because he was a West Point graduate. He was a career soldier also. And so I said, "I definitely want to look him up." And I did. Some of you men know him or knew him. He's home with the Lord right now and has been for a few years. Bill Spencer was his name. Sorry about that. I didn't plan to get emotional, but what a blessing Bill was to me. He was a godly man. I'm so sorry for this. He showed me God's love. He became a true friend. And be honest, even in the Army, I had a whole lot of acquaintances, a whole lot of good camaraderie with a whole lot of men. I couldn't have made that Army career if it hadn't been for that. But I didn't have any real what I learned to be true friend, a man you could talk with about anything. You could talk about the deep stuff that's going on in your life, mind, heart, attitude, any of it. And of course, it took me a while to realize that because I was so prideful, I wouldn't let anybody really get close to me. And it was over time that the Holy Spirit essentially was working inside of me and changing me. But let me share this with you. Went through the divorce, and see, I met Bill before the divorce was final, and he took me into the Bible that I wasn't familiar with at all. And he showed me what God had to say about divorce, that God hated divorce. But I was so set in my ways, and that I was going to let it continue, the divorce. So again, not proud of that at all. But see, I wasn't there yet. It was on the front end of our relationship. And I just wasn't ready to listen to anybody. And just, again, stiff arm, distance, pride, and such as that. So I was divorced. And then, after meeting with Bill, and let me share with you what that looked like. It became to be a weekly thing. And on the front end, it was just getting to know each other. And that was a really good experience, getting to know Bill. And it was probably pretty challenging for him, getting to know me, what I had to share with him and all of that. But man, that didn't affect him at all. He just kept on loving me and caring for me. And so he eased me also into the Bible, outside of trying to teach me what God was saying about divorce before the divorce was final. He eased me into the Bible, and so we started studying it together. And he brought up this wonderful invitation to go into what many of you know as Operation Timothy, to study the Bible. That is such a wonderful discipling study, because it just gets you into the Bible very wonderfully in real life stuff. But he's kept talking about that and wanted to do that on a weekly basis, and it required homework. And I said, oh man, this is too serious. So I said no more than once to Bill about that. Let me tell you something that was pretty exciting though. After the divorce, and later on, I met a woman here in Chattanooga and got to know her, and really, and this was while I was still meeting with Bill, and really felt like that she might be the right woman for me to even be married. And in fact, then about 2 years and 4 months after meeting Bill, Suzanne and I, my present wife, now of 36 years, got married. And what happened was, as soon as we got back from the honeymoon, I mean, this seems kind of strange, but this is the way God did it. I mean, he just put on me about Operation Timothy. And so when I got, as soon as we got home from the honeymoon, I called Bill Spencer up. I said, hey, Bill, you know that Timothy thing you've been trying to get me into? I'm ready to do it. And I mean, isn't that wonderful? I mean, I was so happy from being married to Suzanne. And just, I did, even though I was distant from God, felt like that was from God. I guess based on some of the things we'd heard, and we know, all of us, I suspect everyone in here, but maybe not all of us, know all good things come from Him. He's the source of all good things. And so that was stirred up in me, and then I was ready to be more committed to being open to growing closer to God. And so let me just go ahead to this part. 8 months, essentially, after we got started. In fact, it was in August. So see, because Suzanne and I were married in December. So it was in August. Here we are in August. 35 years ago. That I was at home doing my homework for Operation Timothy. Therefore, in the Bible, you know, reading the Bible, answering questions. Reading the Bible, answering questions. And at that point, and I was by myself because Suzanne had not gotten home from work. She was a school librarian for many years. And she had not gotten home, so I was all by myself. And I was just prompted to lay my Bible down and go kneel beside my bed. And that's when I surrendered to God. I had reached the point to where I truly believed that Jesus Christ was who the Bible said He was. And so I went to Him and I was convicted of my sin and repented of my sin and received Christ the most important things to ever happen to me. I mean, it was really important marrying Suzanne and a lot of other life events, but that was the most important thing that's ever happened to me. My whole life was changed at that point. Needless to say, when Suzanne got home, I shared it with her with great joy, and she was amazed and had great joy. And she actually said, I thought you were saved already. I had her fooled, but not really. Because see, by the time I met Suzanne, some of what, even though I wasn't saved yet, some of it was beginning to kind of take effect, and I was beginning to read the Bible on my own, and I was even beginning to pray. Now, I had no business praying because I didn't know Christ yet, but I was praying in His name. And so she thought, we'd never had really talked about the testimony because, there really hadn't been one, you know. And so that was a wonderful time sharing that with her. Needless to say, that same day, it was actually night by that time, I called Bill up and talked about rejoicing. He did, for sure. And he said, okay, we're going to keep on meeting together, and we're going to finish Operation Timothy, because he hadn't finished it yet. So we're going to, and I said, wonderful. I want to. And he said, okay, I want you to meet me Tuesday morning at a game, the location that's no longer meeting there now. Small group, early morning. I think it met at 6:30. And I said, okay. I mean, I was ready to follow orders, you know. And so that's first, within, in other words, in less than a week of being born again, he had me at a men's small group that were studying the Bible, focusing on growing closer to God. And wow, how thankful I am for that. I'll tell you one funny thing. I really didn't have this in my notes, but one funny thing about that meeting was this. Okay, I go to it, and Bill was there, and so he was talking to somebody else. I saw where the coffee was. I went over to get coffee. And so I'm at the coffee pot, and I hear men talking behind me and all that. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice comes out, says, how long have you been a believer? And I didn't know. The voice was loud enough to where he couldn't be talking to me. And so I looked around, and this was a man, Ted DeMoss. As many of you knew him. He was president of CBNC for a while. He was at the meeting, and he was asking another man that. And I just turned back around, get my coffee, and I said, man, I hope he didn't ask me that. Because I might say, well, not even a week yet. So, anyway, I think God's sense of humor in all of that. But I better look at my watch. Oh, man. It's getting a little bit closer on time than I expected. So what I would like to do is I'd like to move right now to an important part of what I'd like to share with you. Because you've heard of how wonderfully God worked in my life. And I fully believe that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. In other words, that when we go to the Bible, we can hear from God, from the Creator of heaven, of the heavens and the earth, and every living creature there is. We can hear from Him through His Word. So what I'd like to do, and I didn't want to take any chances on, didn't want to take any chances on misquoting or from my old brain memory, leaving anything out. So I there are just a few verses that really impacted me that I would like to share with you right now. And I pray that with the Spirit's help, that you are able to hear from God through His Word and met right where you are through His Word. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." In other words, Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, is the only way to God the Father. There's no greater or more perfect love than that of God the Father. And this is another verse from the Bible. Many of you are familiar with it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wow. That's the love of God the Father. Now there's a problem that we all have, every human being. Christ was the only one that lived on this earth that didn't have this problem, and that is that of sin. And sin results in the separation from God. Listen to a couple of different verses here that emphasize this. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And another verse soon after that in the book of Romans. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But because of God's love for us, He has provided the only solution. So we've got that problem, but God provided the solution. But God demonstrates, this is another verse straight from the Word of God, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And Christ came to this earth for that mission, essentially, to die for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. He was the only acceptable sacrifice because He was totally without sin. So, what is our response? What is your response? We must believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as Savior and Lord. Listen to this final verse I'd like to share with you. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Therefore, we're saved by God's grace through faith. There's nothing that anyone can do to earn it, or certainly not to take credit for saving themselves. It is the gift of God." And I realize that there are some in this room that have not come to that point of faith yet. I hope and pray that even hearing some of God's Word and possibly some of what I shared about how God has worked in my life, that you are to a point of believing in Christ as Savior and as Lord. So what I would like to do right now is I'm going to say really two prayers. The first prayer is going to be very similar to what I prayed 35 years ago when I received Christ into my heart. And then the other is going to be one that, because there's some of you who know Christ already that may be desiring to recommit yourself to Him. So if you would, please bow your heads with me. And God knows your heart, so consider responding to Him silently as I pray and as you hear these prayers and hear from the Spirit. Let me pray. Dear Father, dear God, I realize that I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I turn now by faith from my sin and I ask you for forgiveness of my sin. I turn from it and I turn to you, because I do believe that Jesus Christ, in fact, is Savior and is Lord. My desire now is to receive you, Lord Jesus, into my life, into my heart, so that I may be helped to live a life of obedience to you and to please you in every way. I pray that now in Christ Jesus' name. But also, oh Father, for those who have that desire to recommit yourself to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I pray, oh Father, that you will also forgive me of my sins. Forgive me if I've ever taken you for granted. Forgive me if I have not been really well disciplined in being in your word every day. I've not been praying possibly as I ought to be praying. I've not made fellowship with other believers the priority that I know you would have it be in my life. So I recommit myself to you, and I want to be all yours. Please help me to follow you perfectly and well, day by day. May I be more consistent in my love of you and my obedience to your word. I pray all of this with great thanksgiving in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, men, and I see it's 1 minute before, and we're supposed to get you out of here by 1 o'clock, so sorry for kind of squeezing on time, but you've got envelopes on the table, and if you would just pass the envelopes around. There's a card in there that we would like you to complete, if you would be willing to take time to do that. There are pencils or pens also in the envelope, and it's pretty self-explanatory as to what we would like you to put on there. And let me just mention this. If you've already provided your address and that hasn't changed, or your email address and that's not a new one or a changed one, then you don't have to put that in there. But as you are filling the card out, I would like to call your attention to the upper right-hand corner of the card. that says as a result of what I heard today. And there are three blocks there. One of them says, I prayed to receive Christ for the first time. The second is, I renewed my commitment to Jesus. The third says, I would like to talk to someone about the speaker's message. Then please check any of those blocks that are appropriate. And that first one of praying to receive Christ, if you prayed that prayer from your heart sincerely, then please check that block. As you probably realize, there's no magic words in a prayer that save a person. It's a heart deal, and God knows all. He's omniscient. He knows our thoughts and He knows our hearts. One other thing I'd like to call your attention to, if you'll notice five subjects there on the lower right corner, please check any of those that you might be interested in as well. And once you've done that, if you would, just put them in the envelope and leave them on the table. Thank you all very much. Sorry for the disappointment not having Jay Bumgardner. Hopefully he'll be here sometime soon. Well soon and back here. So take care.
I couldn't at all.
Thank you.
I couldn't at all. Okay. Some.